Let us pray. Lord God, who knows each one here, the difficulties they're in, we pray that thou will be pleased to help them. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. Acts 4:29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. What I'm wanting to talk to you about is this, simply, that we are very few people, and as I talk to people around the country, I find people in small numbers on the whole. And even those who are larger numbers, compared with those around them, in the population around them, is very small indeed. Now, what does the Lord want to do about it? It's a very important question, because it's the great question before us in a certain sense. Well, I tell you this first of all. To get anywhere between the church and the world, the first thing that happened, and it sounds odd, but it's true, that Peter cried and then said later, I go a fishing. In other words, he dumped the Lord Jesus Christ twice and went his own way. Now, that is what we have done. Oh, think a little. What do you do of an evening? Do you dump the Lord Jesus or go your own ways as you're through the day? You see, it's very easily to cover one's sins, but they're there. What are we doing? Well, the first thing in the Lord Jesus Christ came right off and left the Lord alone. He said, I go fishing, and they said, we go with him, and then left them. Now, the next thing that happened was very simple indeed. The Lord Jesus said, you wait in Jerusalem until the day of Pentecost. And he did wait. I don't know anybody in this room or anybody else who finds it harder to pray. You just think. When you start to pray, your mind fills with what? Well, I have things you have to do. And then what do they go on? Well, other people need things. Then they very quickly go on to thinking about all the things they ought to do. Oh, yes, it does. And that's exactly how you all spent the days. And so we go on like that, and we're full of things, and then we want to rest, so our work doesn't get ready, and so at the end, back again. What are we to do? What are we to do? Well, they waited, and the Lord gave them. Now, it's not very difficult to understand, because they were there suddenly, the rushing mighty wind, and the voice, and the tongue, and all the rest. Now, that's not the end of it. God gives you certain gifts, not so that you can be proud to other people, but why did he give a gift to you? He gave a gift because he demands that his own with usury. He demands that you double it. He demands that you give your usury and put it to the business until you make from one talent into two talents. And that is what all you have got to do. Now, that is what they did. They went on then with their business. And what did they do? Well, they stood up in front of everybody. And the greatest business in the world is preaching. I have no doubt about it, that when I see all the various people I know, the tops of the business, the top in Parliament and everyone else, the one above them is the one who preaches. Do you know that if you took all the professors and great doctors of Oxford and Cambridge, who goes in front of them? It's the preachers. That's always been so. It's they who go first. And why do they get the place to go first? And atheists dislike this intensely. It's because God puts preaching beyond anything. So then, the one thing I want to say to you about this is this. Immediately they started being filled with the Spirit, they started preaching. And unless you preach like that, you're never going to help. You're never going to help the church around us. Now, I notice they didn't, where they took what we love and take and write, the Ten Commandments was how got us there. It wasn't there by anything else but preaching. Preaching Jesus. Now, they preach. And some men, and it means men there, were about 5,000. And that was the beginning. But God didn't intend to let it go. Now, one of the things I have shown you and often said is this, that in our history, we have many times there have been revivals. Great revivals. You'll find them under Wesley and Whitfield. You'll find them far further back. The greatest revival of all, probably in England ever happened, and in Europe, was the Reformation, when we reckon that at least 1 million people came to know the Lord Jesus. Now, this was what happened in the past. But what happens afterwards? Well, it all descended into nothing. You look at the great revival that was in the Presbyterian and the churches that were with the Puritans. They went out to America. Where did they start? With the great revival of it, with a tiny group of them under Robinson and the others in Boston. And what happened? A great, wonderful work happened. Out of it came all their universities, all their great schools. They were the first to set them up in America. Don't ever talk to you about atheists and the rest. The people who set up everything worth having there was there. And when they'd set up all their great universities and everything, what happened then? Well, I'll tell you. Do you know that they sunk? Do you know what they did? Because they couldn't hold the Spirit, they lost. And what happened? Well, I'll tell you very simply. They became into Unitarians. And you will find that the Unitarians ruled. They didn't believe in Jesus and God. They didn't believe any of this. They didn't believe in the Holy Spirit, and they all had all this idea out of Unitarianism. It's still there, you can find them. There's one in Shrewsbury, and you can see one in Hereford. There's Unitarian people there, but there's nothing to it. There's nothing to it, just dead. Franklin was a Unitarian, the great leader of the American ones who set up. Now, all those things just sap to nothing. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't intend to us to just stop with Pentecost. So what did he do? Well, you think about it. He sent some men to them, some nasty and unpleasant Pharisees, with the Sadducees, who are the cold, hard and cruel type, who liked to get others pushed down. They were politicians, and what they were after was keeping things in nice and easy and under their arm, like they do today. Now, I want to ask you plainly, what happened? Well, Peter and John went to the temple to pray. By the way, the prayer he prayed were the Jewish prayers, like prayer book prayers. Those are the prayers they actually prayed. Don't think he had a sort of a beautiful prayer book in a prayer meeting. It was nothing like that. These are the temple prayers of the prayed. And as they were praying, they went out, they met a man with a lame whole body. He'd been through it, always lame, and he wanted to get a penny off them. And they said, "Silver and gold I have none, but such I have, give thee, arise and walk." And then Peter and John lifted up, and he rose and walked. And then they began to see. Now, that isn't the way to get a revival, and it isn't the way to get a first move of the Spirit in our land again, which is what we greatly need. What happened then was that along came the Pharisees, Sadducees and the lot, and they began to go at Peter and John, Peter especially. Peter was a bold fellow, and he opened his mouth, and he wasn't afraid of other people, and he talked to them straight. And what he said to them was, "Jesus of Nazareth," and he kept saying Jesus, the name they couldn't stick. Do you know that almost every Jew today still hates the name of Jesus? Or they do. It's not past, it's present. They regard it as the most terrible thing that ever happened in history, the most horrible thing that ever happened. And, do you know, there was a Spaniard who wrote a very nice little, I don't know what you call it, little like an essay, but it always struck me. He said that once Jesus came and met the great men in Spain, all the priests and friars and monks and nuns and all the rest, and when they'd listened to him, they said, "We've got nothing for you. You don't fit into our position at all. We don't want him," and they threw him out. And that was a Spanish thing about them, and it's true, isn't it? I could tell you, I could walk round streets, and there are people who say, "But this, we don't want anything about Jesus. What we want is all about," and they have all their way of keeping it going, don't they? And that quickly gets to us too, and just, it all keeps us going, day by day. Well now, he spoke to them of Jesus and the resurrection, and so did Paul when he was at the end of Acts in Rome. He spoke of Jesus and the resurrection, and you'll find all the way through, this is the subject: Jesus and the resurrection. And what happened? It infuriated them. Now that's what God intended to have. Look, God doesn't intend you to have a nice easy time. God intended to knock away everything under you. God intends to knock away all your bricks and all your mortar that you hold above them and just bring you down. That's what God intends, and that is why God is breaking us down, every one of us. You see, until that happens, there is no advance. Jesus said, "Except a wheat of grain fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And that's how these things happen. So then, what we're lacking is death. And the reason we're lacking is we don't go to where people would simply kill us. But you see, if you look in the Arab world, where they literally are killing us every day, then those people are beginning to hear and to listen. If you look in the Chinese world, you will find in China today that people there are dying for Jesus, and they're being in prison for Jesus, not talks about Jesus, but there. And what's happening? They're growing. And why? Because these things are mishappening. You see, what we need is Jesus send the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the lot of them, the officers of the temple and all the very top ones with their spears and swords and everything, and intended to get hold of Peter and John. They put him in prison for the night. Have you ever been put in prison? Well, just think about it, because very unpleasant place. Now, in that, what happened to Peter and John? This is how the church evolves, and how it grows, and how it gets big. Well, Peter and John were pulled out. And there was Caiaphas and Anna, and Anna was called that snake by the other Jews. He was a most horrible man, a man who fought all his life against Jesus. And do you know that when the terrible things happened to Jerusalem, he was there and watched the zealots destroy the temple for him. He cried out and said, "Oh, oh," as he saw the way the Jews were destroying it, utterly destroying the place. They were doing terrible things. One thing was they were going round and stealing off each other, killing each other and murdering each other and bringing them in. And that's what they had brought on. Now that's the way they were. What a lot they were doing these terrible things. Now what happened? Well, this nasty lot got hold of Peter, and they said the very words they asked Jesus. They said, and these they said, "By what power or what name or what authority do you preach?" Now, that was death penalty. Now, have you never had someone attack you? Well, I'm glad you did, because it shows you've begun to wake up. God has shown that this isn't just talk about Pentecost and everything. It's happening. You're waking up because something's happening. I believe it very much. I believe it happens to me, and I believe it happens to you. When God intends to put it forward, he allows us not just put in prison for the night, but to face straight away death. And that's what happens. And until we do, we shall never have a revival in our land. There's no other way but death. And that's what they face. And what did Peter do? He did something which neither you nor I dare do. He stood straight up and spoke to them, plain and straight, told them in simple terms, but a beautiful sermon it was. And when they finally smashed up all they'd said to him and were again him, Peter got up again and said the same thing. And he said it even worse. He got the very words that Jesus spoke about Isaiah the servant. And while it says this holy child Jesus, what it's really word is this holy servant. And this is the servant of Isaiah. And Jesus stood up before the Isaiah and said, "I am Isaiah. I'm the one who was put in there. I was preached there. I am all this. I'm everything. I am." And that was death penalty, to say that sort of thing. They knew. They were clever men. And they were men with plenty of ability and brain to them. And as they listened to this, they realized that they had two chances. Either kill Peter and John and the others later on, because there were some thousands under. That's what they were going to do. But God shut the lion's mouth like he did for Daniel, and they were quiet. Look, if you make it and be brave and not be a real coward, you will stand up and preach for Jesus. And when you stand, I'm not meaning you get on a soapbox, but you talk plainly, openly to Jesus. That's how it happens. And when he talks to people like that, then immediately they start hearing. Now they had to give up. They told him not to go on preaching. Peter said, I'll go on preaching. He said, is it right for me to do God-ing or you? Now, all around us today, we've got people telling us not to preach, haven't they? Oh, yes, you have. You're told not to speak about homosexuals, not to speak about the difficulties in the church, not to speak about the things that are against the Lord Jesus, not to speak about all the political things we're told not to. Well, it's time you stood up and preach. I preached openly, straight and openly. And that's what Peter did, and that's what we don't do. Oh yes, it's true, isn't it? And so he stood up. Now, what happened? Because immediately, about 3,000 more people joined them. You see, the revival was on again now. 5,000 the first time, now 3,000. And I'll tell you something new. The book, the words that say when 5,000 at Pentecost joined them, they're men, actually men, from not women. But now it says 3,000 men and women joined you. And what happened? Well, it started proper, what I call proper a church. That's how it really started. Because you see, while they all had just men preaching Jewish belief, Jewish words in the temple, wasn't quite the same. But now they got the women in. And the women were preaching, and preaching with the others in praying. Now there's a lot of feeling about against women praying. I have no objection to women praying. You can let anyone heal it. I have absolutely none. I believe God intends us to do so. And they prayed and prayed. And as they began to pray, so the whole church began to move. And that's how the Church of God has assembled, and that's how it's gone on day to day, and that's why it's dying on us. It's just the same. Well, I think it was once Spurgeon who said, all are growing, all are blowing. He said, that's what the girls up in the streets shouting of the little nosegays and little bits of things they wanted to sell. And he said, I said to them, all are dying, all are withering. And that's what the Church of God is like, isn't it? So you can see it yourself. It's very simple. They're not difficult things. Anyone could think it out. But you see, we put our mind on all sorts of other things. Now, that's what we've listened to, and that's what leaves us with something to do about it. But I'll tell you what come out of it. You think, because they got the men and women there, then you very soon found there were meals round them. You very soon find that there were children down there. You very soon find that the whole thing was full of life and pushing ahead, and they were in common. They got together. Everything made it wonderful together. And if you couldn't have that, you'd never have got anywhere. So there's how we got going. Now you think. May the Lord have mercy on us all. Amen. Amen.